1 John chapter 3, verses 15 through 18 is the section we'll be looking at today. 1 John chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. In this book of 1 John, John, who is oftentimes called the apostle of love, says a great deal about love, especially loving the brethren. And in this section, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18, John says even more about brotherly love. He tells us what love is and what love is not. He talks about what love does and what love does not do. Many people talk about love today, but their idea of love is not the Bible idea of love. And so let's look at what love involves, and also let's look at the opposite of love, which is hate. What does John say about these subjects? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, John says these piercing words, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." These are powerful words. And John has already said in verse 14 that if a man does not love his brother, he abides in death. That means he remains in spiritual death. That is, he remains in a lost condition if he does not love his brother. But even furthermore, he says in verse 15, if a man hates his brother, he is guilty of murder. Murder in what sense? Murder in a spiritual sense. The idea of murder here in 1 John 3, verse 15, is similar to what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 27, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Jesus said that a man who looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart, that is, in a spiritual sense. As a figure of speech, that man has committed adultery. And in a similar way, John says that when a man hates his brother, he is guilty of murder, that is, in a spiritual sense, in a manner of speaking, he is guilty of murder. It's interesting also that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, in the section just before Jesus talks about adultery in the heart, he talks about killing. Notice what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. The judgment there is not the day of judgment, that is the judgment of the lower courts in Israel. And whosoever shall say to his brother Reka, that is, you empty-headed one, shall be in danger of the council, that is the high court in the Israelite nation. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Jesus is talking about the condition of the heart. He's talking about the state of a person's heart that leads to the commission of these outward acts, because those outward sins begin in the heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And this is why Jesus said to beware of unjust anger and contempt, which lead to hate, which can lead to literal murder. Sometimes a person who hates is only a small step away from literal murder. He may just lack the opportunity, or the circumstances may not be right. But sins like adultery and murder actually begin in the heart. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5. This is why John can say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, that if a man hates his brother, he is guilty of murder. And he adds in verse 15, "You know, you understand, and you realize that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him," that is, he is in a lost condition. In verse 16, the Bible shows what true Bible love does. Love gives. A loving person is a giving person. The Bible says that Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. Galatians 2, verse 20. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's what Jesus did for us. He gave his life for us. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So John is saying that we ought to do the same for each other. Listen to verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We ought to risk our lives. We ought to be willing to give our lives. We ought to be ready to die for each other. Many people can quote John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But how many people know 1 John chapter 3, verse 16? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says that Jesus died for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. A good example of this is Aquila and Priscilla in Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. We're not given the details about what they did, but the Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla laid down their necks, that is, they risked their lives for the Apostle Paul. How many people would do that? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, that is perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die." Now, his point in Romans 5 is made in verse 6 and 8 because he says that even though we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And he says that people rarely die even for a good man. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So a question for us to consider is this: would you give your life for someone? Would you give your life for a son or a daughter, or a husband or a wife or a father or a mother? Now that should be easy. That should come naturally because we are to have natural affection, that is, strong love toward those who are our own flesh and blood. So dying for your own kin, especially your own close family members, should come automatically. But what about dying for a fellow Christian? Would you risk your own life for a fellow Christian? Would you die for a brother or a sister in Christ? The Bible says that Jesus died for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. And if you are willing to die for one another, if you love other Christians enough to die for them, is there anything that you won't do to help them? If you love somebody enough to die for that person, you will certainly do anything else that you can to help that person. And not only that, if you love somebody enough to die for that person, then you're not going to be tempted to slander that person. You're not going to be jealous of that person. You're not going to do that brother wrong in any way. And that is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Love keeps us from doing wrong to a person, and love leads us to be willing to die for an individual. This is why John talks about this so much. This is why the Bible emphasizes it so often. If people have love in congregations for each other, if people love each other enough that they are willing to die for each other, then they're not going to get into the problems that many people have in churches today. Brotherly love is the answer to many of the issues and many of the troubles that churches face. Then in verse 17, John tells us even more about the nature of true Bible love. Love means giving, and that includes not just giving your life, and if a person is willing to give his life, it is a small thing for him to give of his money or his possessions. A man who is willing to give up his life because he loves others will certainly and very quickly give of his money and his possessions and his property to help other people, to help the needy, to help the sick, to help the poor. Giving comes very easy and very natural when you love people. This is what the Bible means when it talks about a cheerful giver in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. The Bible tells us to open our hand wide to poor people. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. The Bible says, "Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Psalm 41, verse 4. The Bible says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. With those verses in mind, look at verse 17. John says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" John shows that a man who will not help people in need is not a Christian. Notice that he says that this man has this world's good. The word good there means the livelihood of this world. So this man has the means, he has the capability, and he sees a brother who is in need. He knows it. He's aware of it. So there's no excuse for him neglecting this man. But instead of helping this brother who is in need, he shuts up his bowels of compassion from him. Now, that's the King James rendering. Other translations simply say that he shuts up his heart. In the Bible, we find the King James Version is oftentimes a very conservative and often a very literal translation. And here it gives the word bowels. In the Bible, the internal organs of a man, like the heart, the kidneys, or here, the bowels, represent the warmth and the compassion and the feelings of mercy that we should have for other people. And the Bible here says that John is talking about a stingy person. He's talking about a selfish man who has a hard, cold heart and will not help other people. A person who is able to help the needy but will not help the needy is not a Christian. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, is a good example of a greedy person, a selfish man who would not help a poor man. The Bible talks about this rich man who has all these expensive clothes and fine food, and Lazarus, this beggar, is laid at his gate. But this man who is rich refuses to help the poor man. He knew Lazarus was not able to work. Lazarus was truly a needy person. He was not a con artist who was trying to scam people. He was not a man who was just too lazy to work. This man knew that Lazarus was really crippled and he needed help. And this rich man had the means to help. He made sure that he had a good home. He made sure that he had expensive clothes and fine food. But he would not give this hungry, crippled man a crumb of food. And the Bible says he died, and when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13, the Bible says, "Whoever stops his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." In verse 18 of 1 John chapter 3, John ends with this observation and conclusion: "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Love is doing, not just saying. And John is not putting down, he's not discouraging telling people that you love them. What he is teaching is that we need to show that love and not just talk about it. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, which says, "Let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth," is one of those many verses in 1 John that talk about doing as well as saying.